Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we want to honor you this morning. We exalt you. We lift you up, Lord. Your name is worthy, great, and greatly to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you're going to do, all that you've done, but all that you are about to do. You show yourself strong. Hallelujah. Your word is true. Your word is awesome, and it's truth, and it never fails. Jesus, you never fail. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence right now. Thank you for your presence that is in this place. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Wow, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's an awesomeness of his presence. It's just an awe. Can you just be in awe of God this morning? Thank you, Lord, that this Creator comes and we can worship him. We can have relationship, personal relationship with him, the one who made everything. He's so personal with us, so intimate. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Almighty God. Oh, amen. Amen. The name of this teaching today for Healing School is called Hear Him and Be Healed. We want to listen to his voice. What is he saying? Because there's a lot of other voices out there that want to get our attention. But what are we going to give our attention to? Who are we going to listen to? What are we going to listen to? There's a lot of fear. You can listen to the news, and it can really make you angry. You can feel anxious and anxiety and hopeless, but you can't spend your time listening to all of that. We got to listen intently to him. Hear him. He is our healer. He's our peace. He's the one that restores. He's the one that gives us exactly what we have need of, a word in due season. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. There's a verse over in Isaiah 52. And it's gives you the picture of a messenger that's coming. And this messenger is coming and he's running and he's bringing good news. It's Isaiah chapter 52 and it's verse 7. We all know it. And it's mentioned in a couple places in the Bible. But if you look at the book of Isaiah, you hear a lot in the beginning of judgment on this nation, judgment on that nation, judgment, judgment, judgment. And you think, where's the hope? But there's a messenger that's coming that's bringing hope and that's bringing restoration. He's telling Israel and he's telling his people, I'm devoted to you. I'm eternally devoted to you. But in verse 7, it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. There's a messenger that is coming, is what Isaiah is saying. Don't worry. There's a messenger. He's coming and he's bringing good news. He's bringing news of peace, news of glad tidings, news of salvation. I haven't let you go. Remember, David says, how long will you let us go, Lord? Forever? But God's devoted. And so he's got this messenger that is bringing this good news. But we got to hear this news and we got to be devoted to it. We got to intently be devoted to this news that we're hearing, to this gospel is what it is. It's the gospel. The gospel is the good news. The messenger is Jesus. And he's coming, he's running, and he's saying, the war's over. It's like a newspaper person. We used to deliver newspapers, Tom and I did. All of our kids did. And we would go out early Sunday mornings and all during the week. We'd rise up at like 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, go out and deliver our papers. But it's kind of like that. You'd see the news, and I think of those little newsboys. Extra, extra. You know, read all about it. The war is over. The soldiers are coming home. You're set free. The captives are set free. Remember when we had our captives over there and they finally, all of the prisoners were coming back home. It's good news. You're being released from your prison. You're being released from your captivity. Weeping is not going to endure forever. It's only for a night. Joy's coming in the morning. Don't worry. We got joy. We can walk in it. It's eternal. It's forever because our God reigns, like it says in here. Rejoice, Zion, your God reigns. Our God reigns. It's good news. It's eternal. And Jesus never fails. But we got to listen to what this says. We got to listen intently. This is what it is. Hear him and be healed. We can't listen to all of those other voices that are coming in and they're lying to us. And they're telling us, this is hopeless. You've got a disease that is deadly. It's going to take you out. That's not the voice we need to listen to. We need to listen intently to this word. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. And you're all going to know this. But you know what? That's okay because God's word is real. And he might speak something to you last month or 10 years ago. You do know it's still just as real and still just as vital and alive as it was right now today, just as alive as it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Because I've experienced that. He's spoken things to me in the past that brought me out of just horrible darkness. And I can look at that and it's still just as real and just as alive today as it was then, because his word never fails. It's eternal. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health, healing to all their flesh. The word of God will heal you because the word of God is our healer. Jesus is our word. He's our logos. He's our word and he's our healer. Give attention to his words. Be attentive to his words. Being attentive, you know what that means? It's like you're hanging on. It's like you're hanging on to that, to every word. You're not letting it go. It's like this fruit that is hanging from this tree. He's the vine, but we're the branches. But we're bearing fruit and we're hanging on to that root and to that vine. We're being attentive and hanging on strong and not letting go. That's what attentive means. You're giving it your attention. You're looking at it. You're looking there. You're looking at him. You're not looking at all these other situations that are taking place around you. You're looking attentively to him and to his word. What does it say? What did he say when I brought this need before him? Keep your eyes on that. Be attentive. It's like, hear him because he will heal you. Amen. Praise your Lord. Well, let's go over to Luke chapter 6 because this is where all this came from, was in Luke chapter 6. Because we know who the messenger is. You know what? Let's backtrack for just a second. Let's go to Book of Acts first. Let's go to the Book of Acts because we want to hear about who this messenger is. We know it's Jesus, but Acts chapter 10, and this is the story when Peter was called to go to see Cornelius. He went to see Cornelius, who was a Gentile, not even a Jew. He went to see the Gentiles. The Lord says, you're going to reach out. So in verse, we're going to start in verse 36. And Peter's talking to Cornelius and to his household, and he's telling them about this messenger that came and they brought this good news. It says, the word which God, in verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Here it is, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus went about preaching the gospel, preaching the good news, and in that preaching of the gospel is your healing. In the preaching of the gospel. Remember when Paul went to the man over in Lystra, and all he was in an idol worshiping place, and all he did was he was preaching the gospel there. That's what it says. And he looked, and the man who had never walked received his healing through the preaching of the gospel, through the preaching of the good news. It probably wasn't a sermon on healing. It was the good news, the gospel. This is what this messenger brought to us, this good news. You're free from your sin. When you're free from your sin, you reap all the benefits of being free from your sin. Your forgiveness, that means you're healed. You receive your healing. This is why Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because this is the good news that he brought. You were in bondage before. You're not in bondage anymore. Right, you were in prison before, but he set you free from your prison. He took the lock off and he opened the door and he says, come on out. I've given you freedom. Freedom through the sacrifice that he made for us. Freedom is our good news. The gospel is the good news of God that Jesus brought. So now we'll go to Luke. Luke chapter 6. I was talking with Bob this morning, and we were just talking about being saved. And from a child, we kind of have a similar testimony. About 10, 11 years old, we gave our heart to Jesus. And man, he was so real. I remember in just laying in my bed or getting up in the middle of the night, just kind of on my knees in my bed, in the middle of my bed, and just praying and just talking to Jesus. He was so real to me. But then teenage years came, and you know, you kind of strayed away and you did your own thing, but he never lets you go. He never lets you go. That's what this good news is all about. The messenger's coming. He's saying, the war's over. Your battle is over. I'm devoted to you. You may have went off and done your own thing, but I'm pulling you back. He never fails us. Sometimes it's hard to believe how devoted God is to us. It's like, Lord, but didn't you see what I did? Didn't you? You heard my thoughts. You know, it wasn't you at all. But he's so devoted, and he brings us back to him forever and ever he's devoted to us. But in Luke chapter 6, verse 17, from the time Jesus came on the scene, this is what he did. Verse 17 of Luke chapter 6, and he came down with them and stood on a level place. He came down from the mountain, stood on a level place with the crowd. You know, I like that. Jesus comes eye to eye. He comes down to a level place. He's not, oh, I'm way up above you. But he comes to us. He meets us where we are. So he came down, stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem, from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. He came to hear, they all came to hear him. He's got a message. The message is the good news. The message is the gospel. They came to hear him and be healed of all their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Amen. It's really, really, if we can just get a hold of it and grasp it, it's really simple. Healing is just part of the gospel. It's part of this good news. He's the messenger that came and brought to us. How beautiful are the feet of the one that brings the good news. We're now those messengers that are bringing good news. I'm a messenger. I'm a messenger of good news today. You're healed. Receive your healing. I'm actually showing my feet, which is really a deliverance, I'm letting you know right now. It's really a deliverance. Because how beautiful are the feet of those that bring this gospel of good news. It sounds like a silly thing, doesn't it? But it's not. It's awesome. It's awesome that you can be set free from things that bind you that are really nonsense. But yet we hold them in such high regard. But he came to set us free. He's opened up the prison door. He took the lock and he destroyed it. Don't stay in the prison. The door's open. I know it feels comfortable sometimes. This is where I've lived. This is what I know. I got a bed there. You know what I mean? I got a bed there. I got my little sink. Everything is right there. They bring me my food. I don't have to do anything. Come out of there. Come out of the prison. There's a whole new world out there ready for you, waiting for you. Take it. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. Amen. Yes. Praise God. Yes. Amen. Those are those things to where you could just jump up and down. You could just run like a little child. I was watching these two little ones here. They're just running and dancing this morning. That's what we need to do. We need to have that kind of an attitude to where we can just jump around and dance and just sing and just be like a child, because we've been set free. I'm free. I'm free in Jesus' name, free indeed. He has set me free. There's no bondage that can hold me except the one that I let. Don't let any bondage hold you back. He will deliver you. I know it seems like it's impossible. I'm used to living like this. That's just how I am. That's a lie. Your identity is in Christ. Your identity is not in what the world has told you you should be. That's not your identity. Your identity is, you read this word and find out what Jesus did and what he said, that's your identity. That is who you are. Praise God. Amen. God is mighty in the midst of us right now this morning. Amen. Remember back in Exodus 15, I believe I read it the last time, Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, when the Lord said, if you will hearken unto my word, hearken, heed my word, and I will put none of the diseases that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. Hearken. Listen to what this messenger has brought to you. Hearken. You know what that word, in the King James Version, it says hearken. In the New King James, it says heed. But what it means hear it and obey it, is what it means. It means publish it, tell it, report it. But it says diligently. If you will diligently hearken. And when I looked that up, I found that interesting. If you will diligently is the same word as hearken. If you will, with diligence, hear and obey. Hear and do it. Hear and tell it. Hear it and speak it. Hear it and live it. Hear it and walk it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear what the Lord has said. Obey it. Not like, well, sometimes that is how it is. Yes, sir. You know, I mean, if he tells you to do something specifically, yes, sir. But, because he is the captain of our salvation. But yet, when you hear it and you say, I don't see it, Lord, but your word says it's true, so I'm going to have to believe it. And then you put your own mind aside. Put your mind aside. If you could just, you know, get a picture of taking it out and sitting it over here and getting his mind and putting it in there. This is what you're thinking, Jesus. That's a lie over there. This is the truth, because I have the mind of Christ. Yeah. Amen. I have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. And nothing can by any means harm you. There's no weapon formed against you that can prosper. Jesus is alive. And he's well. And it says in here, he does everything good. He is good. And I can receive all the goodness that he has because he loves me that much. It's not based on what I've done. It's not based on anything that I've said or done. It's only based on I received him. And he came, and now he's revealing to me his love for me. And all of his will is for me to receive. All the goodness of God is for me to receive. So what we're doing is we're using our hearing so that we can hear. And when we hear it, we receive it. And we live it. We walk it out with all diligence. Being attentive. Remember, my son, be attentive to my word. Be attentive. Give it all of your attention, because this is where the truth is. This is what we're listening to. And no other thing are we going to listen to but your word. It doesn't mean that we can't function in the world. We have to go out to our jobs and do all of this and that kind of stuff. But when it comes to what we need by the Spirit of God, it's right here. And it completely bypasses all of this world. It's completely beyond that. The supernatural should be the natural. It really should. It says we walk in the Spirit. The supernatural that we saw Jesus did should be so natural for us. Because he said, you're going to do greater things than I did. So we can do this. You're healed. You got to realize that, but I'm not healed. I don't see it. But when you look in the scope of eternity, you're already healed, because he already paid the price. He already did it. So you're already healed. Sometimes you just got to reach out beyond what this world says and reach up into that eternity. Just reach up there and grab it and bring it right down into your now, because you're already healed. So we're going to reach up there and grab it and bring it into our physical world, because in the spirit world, there's no limitation. It's unlimited. And we don't want to limit God. Romans 10:17. Says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Which I like it in the Amplified. The Amplified version, of course, it amplifies it. It just really makes it a little bit bigger. It expresses it better. So faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that comes from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. So faith comes from hearing what Jesus says. If we will diligently hearken, if we will hear and listen and then report it, speak it over yourself. Speak this word of faith over yourself, because it's his faith. It's his faith that saved you. It's his faith that will heal you. He puts that faith within you. He puts it in you. He gives you the faith to be saved. And it's no different to be healed than it is when you got saved. You just received it. You just received it. And you knew it happened. I didn't feel any great experience when I got saved. Some people do. I mean, sure, I cried and I wept, but I got to be honest, I didn't feel anything really big lift off of me. I didn't have an experience like that. Some people do. But I didn't. I can't honestly say that I really felt my salvation. I just received it. I just received it. And then I began to walk it out. But I knew that it happened because all those old desires, I didn't have a desire for anymore. It was like I didn't want them anymore. I was able to cold turkey, just lay things down, even though I didn't feel that expression of this thing leaving. I received it by faith. And all of a sudden, I kept walking farther and farther away from all those old things. I just kept walking farther and farther and farther away to all of a sudden, I can't see them anymore. The memory of it left. Even the memory of what it felt like, the memory of what sin felt like left me. And it's been a journey, but that's how it is with healing. You're so used to this physical malady that's going on in your body. And sometimes it's, you know, it's kind of like having the hiccups. You're always anticipating another one, you know? And you're just waiting. Another one's coming. I just know it. I can feel it. But then all of a sudden it doesn't. It's like, it's gone. It's kind of like that, you know? All of a sudden, it's just gone. It's just over. It's over. The war is over. Praise God, the war is over. The captain of our salvation has come, and he sent good news, and he is the good news. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Okay, Luke, again, chapter 19. I read this the other day, and I thought, wow, I never really kind of seen it that way before. So the Lord kind of gave me a little bit more revelation on this. And you might already know this, but it was good for me. So Luke chapter 19, this is when Jesus was cleansing the temple for the second time. He came and he cleansed the temple. He's about to go to the cross. But he comes in verse 45 of Luke chapter 19, and he says, Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house is a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Now we're going to stop right there for a minute before we read the rest of it. Who's the temple? We are. We are the temple. Doesn't it say that in 1 Corinthians 16 or 6:19? Don't you know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit resides within you. You're the temple. We're the house of prayer. Now Jesus has cleansed our temple. We are clean. He said in John 15:3, "You are clean through the word I have spoken to you." He told the disciples this, "You're clean." He didn't go through our temple and cleanse it with cords and scourging. He took that on himself. He took all of that on himself for the cleansing of our temples. He did it here as a show. He says, this is not what the temple, what the house of prayer is to be all about. Get all of this stuff out of there. I'm cleansing you from sin. I'm cleansing you from darkness. So he cleansed us. Because this house of prayer is right here. We worship him. We bring the sacrifices of praise to him. They brought sacrifices in and offerings to God. We do that right here in our temples by worshiping him. And we sacrifice our own self to him. We say, "Lord, I'm laying down my life a living sacrifice. I'm worshiping you. I'm praising you. I'm praying unto you." This is the house of prayer right here. Right here. And he's cleansed our temple. He cleansed our temple by his own death. By all of the scourging and the cords that he took upon himself, he cleansed our temple. We are clean through his word. We're clean. We're clean. We're the house of prayer. That house of prayer comes from Isaiah 56, verse 7. He talks about it being a house of prayer. But then he says, "But you have made it a den of thieves." What happens? How do we make it a den of thieves? And so if we look over in Jeremiah, we got to go to Jeremiah just real quick. We're not going to stay a long time on this, but Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7, and it is verses 8 through 11 we're going to read. It says, "Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. You trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know?" What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? "And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, 'We're free to do all this stuff. We've been delivered to do all these abominations. We're under grace.' But grace does not give us an okay to go sin." Isn't that what Paul said? "Do we sin that more that grace may abound?" God forbid. No. You've been set free from your sin, so you're dead to that sin, is what he says in Romans. I believe it's Romans 6. You've been set free from that. In verse 11, "Has this house," right here, "this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, says the Lord." He's cleansed our temple. But what are we listening to? Don't listen to the lying words that cannot profit. You have an enemy that wants to come in and wants to tell you, "Nope, you're going to die." Are you bowing down to that thing? Are you worshiping that thing like an idol? If it is, that's a den of thieves. He's come to steal from you. Don't allow your temple to be made a den of thieves by bowing down to some other word other than what God has said. This is what he has spoken. This is what he has said. And this is the truth. It is not a lie. It says he's not a man that he can lie. Jesus does not lie. When he speaks, it's truth and it's forever. It's eternal. So we're receiving this. "Lord, you cleanse my temple. I'm going to keep it clean. I'm going to keep it clean by listening to you. I'm going to listen to you." Amen. Listen to the word of God with intensity. Hear him and be healed. Hear him. Nobody else. I'm not against doctors. I'm thankful for doctors. I'm thankful for when my husband had to go to the hospital, they saved his life. But yet, behind the scenes, it was Jesus. It was all Jesus, all behind the scenes. I'm not against doctors, but when a doctor gives you a report that is fatal, we don't trust in those words. We trust in this word. We trust in this word. Okay, back to Luke 19. We're going to go back to Luke 19 and finish this out. In verse 47... Okay, now he's cleansed her temple. And in verse 47, "And he was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were attentive to hear him." You've got an enemy that wants to come and steal this word and destroy this word. But he can't do that if you are attentively listening to him. He can't do it. He cannot come against you and steal from you this word that is within you, in your temple. He can't do anything if you are listening attentively to Jesus. When you hear these words and they're coming in your ear, "I'm not listening. La, 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 la. I don't hear you. I don't hear what you say. This is what I'm listening to. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. He took all of my sorrows and all of my pain, all of my sicknesses, my diseases, he took upon himself. And that's what I'm walking in. Healing power is mine. I don't care what I see. Healing power is mine. But you got to give diligence to it. You can't just speak it and then just go about your life and you're listening to all these other things, all these symptoms are happening and you're doing nothing about it. Well, one day, no, you get angry. I'm not listening to that. Be diligent. in the word. Be diligent in what you're saying. I've seen God work when I've really gotten angry at a situation. Yeah. And I've said, enough is enough. And I mean, there's been times I've had to go get in my car and take a drive. Because there's people at the house and you really can't do what you want to do. You can't say what you want to say. You got to really have a meeting with God. You know, you get out and you get alone. And I've gotten in my car and I've went down the street driving. And I do it around people, you know, that might see me. Who are you yelling at? But I saw the situation change because you said, enough is enough. I'm not listening to you. And you shut your ear to that thing and you give diligence. Sometimes there's a reset in your own self. You give yourself a little reset. I got to change this thing. I'm listening to the wrong voice. I need the prayer ministers to come up. Do you remember Eve in the garden? She heeded the wrong voice, didn't she? The serpent came. The serpent came and began to speak, and she listened. And we know what happened. The fall came. Sin came in. But when I look over at in the New Testament and I look at Mary, here's Mary that heard the voice of the messenger, be it unto me as you've said. But at the wedding of Cana, John chapter 2, in the wedding of Cana, she, you know, they're out of wine. And she brings her son, she looks, and before all of the people there, she says, hear him. Do what he says. She was opening it up. She says, we're turning this thing. Eve might have listened. Eve was called the mother of all living. But Mary was the mother of the living one. And she said, hear him. Don't listen to anything else. Whatever he says to do, do it. We're listening to him. We're listening only to him, only to his voice. For this purpose, the Son of God came, that he would destroy the works of the devil. Sickness is a work of the devil. It was not intended for us. God never intended sickness and disease and sin and darkness and a desecration of our temple. He never intended that. He always had plans of good for us, of healing, of freedom. I'm opening up the prison. You're going out. So he that has ears to hear, let him hear and let him obey the word. Let him with intensity look at it and grab hold of it. Remember that intensity means you're hanging on to it. You're not letting go. Say, I'm getting a hold of this thing. I am not letting this go because this is my answer. This is my truth. And it's gonna take place because Jesus would not have said it. If I could not be healed, Jesus wouldn't have said it. If I couldn't have walked in freedom, Jesus wouldn't have proclaimed it. He went about proclaiming, preaching, delivering, healing. This is the gospel messenger. How beautiful are the feet of him that brings this good news. He's the good news. He went about doing it, and he says, now I'm going to anoint you to do the same thing. I'm going to send my spirit to you. I'm going to live within you because there's more to do than what is going to be done right here in these little 3.5 years that I'm out ministering. I'm going to put it within you, and you're going to do the same thing. You're the beautiful feet that are bringing the message. But listen to it intently and don't sway from it. Don't turn from it. Matthew 17:5 says, remember on the Mount of Transfiguration? Peter, James, and John, they were up there, and the cloud comes down. And the voice of God in the cloud says, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Only hear him. Hear him and be healed. Look at him. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your ears open to his word. Holy Spirit, right now, Jesus, you brought us peace, goodwill to all men. You brought peace to us that we can grab hold of it, and it's ours to receive. Now, Lord, in every person here, whatever the need is, it's not too great for you. So I speak healing right now over this body of believers. I speak healing because our temples are clean. We've received you as our Savior. We're clean through your word. Lord, you've cast out all of the sin from us. We're righteous. We're forgiven. That gives us the ability to receive our healing. It's part of it. So Jesus, in every person that has a need, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Receive it. If you have need of prayer and you want to come and just have one of these prayer ministers agree with you, just come and have them pray with you in a prayer of agreement. But just remember your identity. Remember your identity is in Christ. Your identity is not in this earth, in this sickness that you might be living in. That is not your identity. Your temple is clean. You've been cleansed. Receive in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to dismiss. 10:45, come back and we're going to worship because we're the house of prayer. We're going to worship God. Amen. Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen.